This Christmas time, I want us to think about a great theme. The great theme is Christ, who is at the heart of Christmas. But I want us to think about the fact that Christmas changes everything. Christmas changes everything. The very fact that we live in 2017 reminds us that 2017 years ago, something happened that was world-changing, life-changing. It changed time itself. It's so significant that ever since that time, we have numbered our years AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's coming to earth. Christmas changes that. But does it change anything else? You might think, well, Christmas doesn't really change much. We go on from year to year and everything seems to be very much the same. But Christmas changes everything. I want to read to you from a very old book, Book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And I want to read you a passage again that was written 700 years before Jesus was born, but a passage that tells us that Jesus' coming was going to change everything. And it can change everything for you and for me. It can change our lives. That's what the Christian message is all about. Christian message is a message of change. It says you don't have to continue living your life the way you have been living it. That Jesus is coming into the world can change everything about you. Your whole outlook, your future, the way you think, your hopes. It changes everything. And this is Isaiah chapter 8, and I'm going to start to read at verse 19. Again, if you want to find it in the Pew Bibles, I'm reading from the NIV. And Isaiah chapter 8 we're going to start in, and then go on into chapter 9. I'm sure you'll recognize some of these words. They've been made famous by Handel's Messiah. But we're going to start on page 489, Isaiah 8 and verse 19. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living, to the law and to the testimony? If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upwards, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's the word of God. In the Northern Hemisphere, Christmas always comes at the darkest part of the year. Different if you are living in Australia or New Zealand. They're on the beach. Our neighbours are on the beach in Australia at the moment, enjoying summer whilst we enjoy winter. And it's very dark, very dark. Perhaps that's an excuse for lots of lights, which you see all around us at the moment. We love to brighten up our lives at Christmas, not only physically with Christmas lights on the tree, but and all over the houses. There used to be several houses in Port Talbot that people used to sort of go on a pilgrimage around every Christmas because they had these wonderful lights outside, and then they would collect money for charity, and it was rather delightful practice. Now, lots of people have lights on the outside of their houses as well as on the inside. But how can we brighten up our lives on the inside? Not just the inside of our houses, but inside our hearts. Is that possible? Is it possible to brighten up your life if perhaps this Christmas there's only darkness? Think of those who still suffer the anguish after the Grenfell Tower fire. Survivors of that. Think about those who have been bereaved in the terrible outrages like the Manchester or London terrorist attacks. Or those who have been bereaved in quieter, although no less painful ways. A loved one passes away, an accident, a cancer diagnosis. Those suffering from depression or loneliness or having received a life-changing diagnosis of Alzheimer's or dementia. Is it possible just to be cheery at Christmas and to say, well, it's Christmas, so let's just be happy, whereas deep down you know that nothing really has changed? Does Christmas change anything really in that sort of situation? Well, the message of the Bible is yes, the true message of Christmas changes everything. As I say, Isaiah wrote 700 years before the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But he spoke about the birth of Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, when you were born, it wasn't said of you or of me that you would be the mighty God, or that you would be the everlasting Father, or that you would be the Prince of Peace. Those things aren't said about us because they're just simply not true. They're only ever true about one person. Isaiah was speaking about Jesus when he said, for us a child is born. And especially when he says the next thing, to us a son is given. Given. I suppose you say that when you have a baby. We've been given a child. But it's not normal, is it? When Jesus came, he was given to the world. And he was sent into the world by the Heavenly Father. And he's the only one who can be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And what Isaiah is saying is that by him coming into the world, it changes everything. It changes everything. And he's telling us in the first few verses here about the amazing change that comes, first of all, from darkness. This morning, there's just two things I want us to hear about Christmas. The first concerns darkness, because you heard at the beginning of that passage, it was all dark and gloom, wasn't it? It was really distressing just to read it, just a darkness and a gloominess. And what Isaiah is saying to you and to me is this, that without Jesus, we are in darkness. That's what he's saying. Now, we might find that a little bit tough to take, but bear with me. Let's listen to what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, without Jesus in our lives, we are in darkness. That's bad news. We might not like to hear that, and we might not even agree with it to start with, but it's here in the Bible. Because unless we hear a little bit of bad news, we'll never be ready for the good news of Jesus being born and all that that means. What darkness does Isaiah speak about? Darkness. Well, the first sort of darkness that he says we're in is a darkness in our minds, in our understanding. We're in the dark. We say that, don't we? I'm in the dark about that. I really don't understand that at all. Nobody's told me. I really don't understand it. So that's the first sort of darkness that Isaiah says we all suffer from. Every one of us, myself and every one of us here and everyone in the whole world, we suffer from this darkness in the mind. A darkness of not understanding, a darkness of being ignorant. And of course, we try and find some light somewhere. I don't know if you've met people, it might even be yourself, but when someone dies, there's always that temptation to go along to the Spiritist Church, to go along to a medium, to see if you can make contact with the person who's died, to see if there might be a message from them. And that's what was happening here. That's what's happening in Isaiah's day. People were going off to the mediums and the Spiritists because they were desperate to find some meaning and some answer, some light in the darkness. And Isaiah is saying, what are you doing that for? Why are you trying to speak to the dead on behalf of the living? Isn't there someone else you should be going to? How about going to God? How about looking in his word? How about going there rather than seeking the dead on behalf of the living? But that's the problem. We search out. We might not go to that extreme. I hope we don't. It's a very wrong and dangerous thing to do. But we might not go to the mediums and the spiritists. But we certainly go to other places to try and find meaning and understanding and light in this world. Because we want to know. We want to have some understanding of what's life all about. What happens when you die? We need to know the answer to these really important questions. And the problem is we're in darkness. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. But there's a further darkness. It's just not just a darkness in the mind. It's also a darkness in the heart. Because these people, they were going everywhere except to God. They were in the darkness of heart that comes from being separated from God. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. It brings a barrier between us and God. When I was a child and I was first hearing these things, I found very, very helpful a picture that one of my Sunday school teachers drew. The picture was of me, well, anyone really, just a person. And then there was a picture of God, although we didn't picture him, it was just the great word God and a big sun shining. And then in between, my Sunday school teacher had drawn a dark cloud. And that dark cloud was casting a shadow over my life. And it meant that I couldn't see God and I was separated from God. And he wrote on that dark cloud, sin. And he said, that's the problem. Your sins, as the Bible says, your sins have separated you from your God. So you're in the shadow, you're in the darkness because the sins separate you. God is a holy, pure God and our hearts are fallen and sinful and we're separated from God. And that's why we're in the darkness. And then Isaiah says there's a third reason we're in the darkness. Not only a darkness of the mind because we don't understand the truth, we don't know the truth about God, ourselves and the future, because our hearts are dark, because this sin separates us from God. But this is a tragedy. Their future was all dark, wasn't it? Their future was dark. Where were they going? Who could they blame? Well, they're going through the land and they're wandering around. That's what he says here. And they're distressed and hungry. They're roaming through the land. And then when they're really hungry, hungry for the truth, hungry for righteousness, hungry for the right way to live in life, hungry for God in a way, although not looking in the right places, they get angry and they look up and they curse the king and they curse God. They blame God and they blame the king or anyone else that they can blame because their future is dark. They've got nowhere to go and they're all distressed and there is the most dreadful gloom in their lives. Now, you might not think that our lives are that bad, but there's an element of that in every one of our lives without God. It paints a very gloomy picture of life. I don't know whether any of the children or the adults as well have read the C.S. Lewis books, Narnia books. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. I read them every couple of years because I just absolutely love them. But the most important one I've decided is The Silver Chair. If you ever read this book called The Silver Chair, these children fall down into a hole in the ground. And when they get down, they realize that there's a whole world under there. And they start to meet people who are living underground. And these people have been kept underground by a wicked queen. And Jill and Eustace, that's the name of the two children, they go down and they're meeting all these people who are pale-faced. And they start talking to these people about the overworld. And these people say, well, it doesn't really exist. No, there's no overworld. And Jill and Eustace say, there is. It's a wonderful world up there. And the sun shines. And they said, no, this is life. This is all that there is. And then they've got these lamps, like our lights. And the queen comes along. And she tries to persuade them that there is no sun. They said, what does the sun look like, she says. And they say, well, it looks a bit like this lamp here, but it's much brighter and more wonderful than that. And she says, well, that's it, isn't it? There's no such thing as a sun. There's just that light there, that globe. That's the real thing. The sun is just an imagination. It doesn't really exist. And she tries to convince them that there is no overland, no sun, that the sun that they're talking about is just a story told to children. The reality is what they've got down there in the dark. How wrong she is. There is an overworld. There is a sun. There is something glorious that they're missing simply because they're living their lives down here in the gloom and the distress and the darkness. And we tend to make do with the little lights that we've got and imagine that that's all there is, like the lamps. And we say, well, there's a few things that will bring light into my life, my family, my friendships, my relationships, food, pleasures. And all of these are like little lights, which are good. But they're not the great lights. They're not the wonderful thing that God promises. They're not the light. They're all part of our way of living in the darkness. So there's the first thing. Isaiah says that without Jesus, we are in darkness. But Christmas is about darkness being turned to light. Darkness being turned to light. And that's what Isaiah goes on to tell us. He says, with Jesus in our lives, with Jesus, the light has dawned in our lives. That is the message of Christmas. Christmas changes everything because by Jesus coming, darkness is turned into light. Remember that lovely verse, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. Because in the end, that's the problem, isn't it? Over all of our lives, death casts its terrible shadow. However wonderful our lives are, and life is good, and life can be very wonderful, and life can be very happy. It has its sadnesses, but it has happiness as well. There are many joys that God has given to us in this life. But the problem is this. At the end of it, there's death. We're always constantly living in the shadow of death, because death is the problem. But the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. How does this light come? Well, when Jesus is born, ignorance becomes knowledge of God. Through Jesus, we can know God. The darkness in our minds gets dispelled by the light of the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. If you want to know God, then you need to know Jesus. He came to reveal the Father to us. He said to his disciples on one occasion, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So Jesus came to get rid of that ignorance of God, that darkness in the mind, and he can speak truth to us. He also came to remove the spiritual deception in our hearts so that we can have spiritual life from God. Jesus said on one occasion, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And not only do our hearts become renewed by faith and trust in Jesus, but despair becomes hope. Again, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." The coming of Jesus into the world is God breaking into this life, coming into this world that is so spoiled by our sin. And Jesus came in order to bring light into our darkness for those who trust him, know him, love him, seek him. You might say, well, why Jesus? Why not somebody else? Why not Buddha or Muhammad or Guru Nanak or one of the other Hindu gurus? Why not a politician or a philosopher? Why not another human being rather than someone who lived such a long time ago? Why Jesus? The answer to that is because of who Jesus is and what he has done. Who is he? Well, he claimed to be the Son of God. The virgin birth, the angels, the visit of the wise men, all of these things point to the fact that he is the Son of God. Did any of those things happen when you were born? I didn't hear my mother saying that angels sang when I was born. I doubt it very much. And certainly no wise men came and visited us. And I certainly never got any good gifts like those ones. Something was happening. Something different. It was marked out as being a special birth. A special person. He's God's son. He is God himself. The second person of the Trinity. And what has he done? Well, Jesus ended his life on a wooden Roman cross, dying like a criminal. Even though no charge against him was ever proven, he was innocent of any crime, but he took the punishment that we deserve. He was punished for the sins of all his people. Everyone who will believe and trust in him, Jesus took their punishment on that cross so that we can be forgiven if we turn to him and seek forgiveness and grace. Jesus experienced a terrible darkness on the cross for 3 hours. God the Father turned his face away from Jesus because he was laying on Jesus our sins so that we can be brought back to God, reconciled to God, welcomed into his family as his children so that light can come into our darkness. But the only way it happens is if we admit that we are in the darkness and we seek the light of the world, Jesus. We seek for him to come into our hearts, come into our lives. And that means we need to humble ourselves. Well, this Christmas, I want to invite you to give further thought to these things. Come back again this evening. Come next week. Or certainly begin to read the Bible. There's several of these out in the entrance hall. These are Mark's Gospel. And if you've never started to read the Bible, it's a great place to start because it tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. And there's lots of other things in that book helping you to understand the book of Mark. So take one of those and read it. Come back again. Talk to one of us about these wonderful things. We'll tell you how the Lord Jesus has turned our darkness into light. He's done that now for me over many, many years now. And still, it's a wonderful truth that Jesus turns darkness into light.